Hey guys, it's Blake, and you're listening to an all-new episode of Blonde Hair, Black Heart. That's right, I'm back with another episode. I know, it probably seemed like I had two more babies and decided to go on another nine-month hiatus, but that is not the case. Actually, my entire family has just been, like, extremely sick with the stomach bug, so I've just been trying to survive over here, and getting you my podcast was like at the top of my list, right after not dying. So I tried my best to get you this podcast last week and the week before, but it's just been like, honestly, it's been like a game of musical chairs, but with stomach virus. So not fun at all. It started last week or the week before. I honestly, time is fucking weird at this point. It's been like all hazy, but, I woke up one morning and was just like deceased, basically. Fluids coming out of both sides. I know that's TMI, but we're all pretty close at this point. I was confined to bed all day long, and I was home by myself. Thank God the twins were, you know, with their childcare during the day and taken care of. But we ended up having to have my in-laws, who are said childcare, watch them overnight because I was like so fucking sick. Not only was I, you know, in and out of the bathroom, but I was like really weak and lightheaded. And at one point, so like I said, I was home by myself all day and I was like so dehydrated. At one point I felt like dry SpongeBob and I was just like, help me, help me. So I like crawled to the kitchen and tried to get myself some water, and literally in the middle of filling up a cup of water, I like blacked out and dropped the cup and broke it and spilled water everywhere. I had to like catch myself on the counter to keep from, you know, completely fainting, basically. And then I had to like crawl my ass back to bed. So it was, I mean, it was scary, honestly. And I was like, there's no way that I can take care of two babies tonight. So my in-laws thankfully watched the babies overnight. And then the next day I was just kind of like back at it because, you know, your boy's got to work. I got to make money. And then unfortunately my in-laws got sick. And so then that next day they sent the babies home and I was pretty much on dad duty from that point forward. A few days later, my husband got really sick. And so again, I was kind of, you know, taking care of the twins and taking care of him. I gotta say, he really lucked out. Well, okay, first of all, I will admit that like, he never gets sick. So the fact that this knocked him on his ass, like it was legitimately like, this bug was no joke. This bug was fully serious in trying to take down my family. So I know he wasn't like, you know, faking it or anything. He needed all the support he could get, but he was very lucky because he had me taking care of him. And then at one point he actually called our friend who's a nurse and she came over and gave him an IV drip. So he had a much more like easy recovery than I did. Like I said, you know, I was basically just trying to get like a drop of water into my system. And this guy had like an IV funneling fluids into him for 2 hours. So anyways, he recovered really quickly, which was great. So then we were kind of back into the swing of things. But when you're a parent, period, taking like any time off for yourself, you, like even if it's a day, the next day, the like pile of shit that you have to deal with is just insane. And then factor in like being a working parent. So I took a total of like 4 days off work when all of this was going on, you know, between me being sick and then like having to take care of the babies. I can't work while I'm also watching twins all day long. It's just, you know, I mean, I know that I'm a Capricorn, but I'm not like a superhuman. So I can do a lot, but I can't do everything. So coming back after 4 days off of work was like insane. It's just, yeah, it's been cray, you guys. It's been cray. And so I've had like my notes for my podcast episode to get to you guys for a couple weeks now. And so with that said, we're gonna go through the last 2 weeks of Vanderpump Rules. I know there's literally a new episode on tonight, but I figured I don't want to wait any longer. I want to just get this to you guys, and then like I'll recap tonight's episode on the next podcast, which will probably be in like a month. I don't know. But anyways, thank you guys for being here. Thanks for bearing with me. Thanks for sticking through. And if you're like over it and you don't care about the last 2 weeks of Vanderpump Rules because there's a new one on tonight, you can turn this off. I don't know. Go give me a 1-star rating. I deserve it at this point. Like, honestly, I should have been taken down for that cookie tweet. Like, it's a blessing that I'm even still here. Oh my God, wait, I have to tell you guys. I pissed off more people. I feel like I need like a whole podcast that is dedicated just to talking about all of the people that I piss off on social media, or maybe like a monthly episode recapping all of my current feuds. But I'm actually surprised I didn't get bombarded with negative reviews over this, because that is typically what happens when I piss people off on socials. They come and they give me 1 stars, even though they've never listened to this podcast, and it is very clearly a 2-star podcast, not a 1-star podcast. So let's be clear. But so anyways, I randomly saw on Twitter a few weeks ago a video circulating of this pop singer named Chapel Roan. And if you're a longtime listener of my podcast, then you might remember like a year and a half ago or 2 years ago, I actually interviewed her on my podcast. And at that point, and even still, she's kind of under the radar. Like, she's not like a huge name by any means, but I brought her on my podcast because I was a big fan and I loved her music. I really did. And I interviewed her and it was fine. And I put the episode out and I never really talked much about it. But I always felt like my brief encounter with her via Zoom was like super awkies. It was like really, really weird and uncomfortable, both like off the mic and then on the mic. Like, before we started recording the podcast, she was just like kind of weird. And then like during the podcast, I felt like trying to get answers from her was like pulling teeth. She just seemed very like disinterested. And here's the thing, like, if you don't want to be here, don't be here. And I'm also not claiming that I'm like the world's best interviewer, but I do think that, you know, pretty much anytime I've had any sort of guest on, whether they're a celebrity or a regular Joe, or, you know, like my girl Shannon, who rides crocodiles, like, I feel like I have a pretty good rapport. And so I remember, like, immediately after I got off of the Zoom call with her, my husband texted me and he was like, "Hey, how was the interview?" And I responded and I was just like, "It was weird," you know? And so that was my first like gut response. And to be fair, I never went back and like re-listened to the episode, once it was out. So maybe it didn't, appear that way or sound weird and awkward to listeners. Maybe it was all in my head. I don't know. Anyways, so when I saw this video of her circulating on Twitter, I was like, I'm gonna tell this little personal anecdote about this pop star who, like, I haven't really thought of since that interview. So I quote tweeted it and I just said, like, I had her on my podcast and it was really weird and, like, TBH, it made me kind of less of a fan of hers, you know? And here's the thing, as always, I don't tag these people, I don't hashtag, I don't, like, go out of my way to try and get this person, like, I wasn't trying to get Chapel Roan to see my tweet, and I certainly wasn't trying to get, like, Chapel Roan's fans to see my tweet, you know? But the next day I wake up and it was just like notification after notification after notification of all of these Chapel Roan stan accounts basically like reaming me out and saying that I'm like a shitty person and like a shitty podcaster and basically that like my opinion doesn't matter because I'm a man and I mean valid, very valid. But so many of the comments were just like so, so nasty and like really, really rude. And so here's my thing is like, I didn't say anything really bad about her other than like, I had a weird and awkward encounter, which was my experience. But also like, guys, it's okay if some of us aren't fans of the same people, you know, like, I get that you love her and that's great. And I think it's awesome that she has fans that will like ride or die for her. But if I say like, yeah, it made me less of a fan, like, I don't know. I feel like I'd just be like, oh, okay, and like move on, or even maybe be like, well, maybe you should give her another chance, blah, blah, blah. But like the comments being like, fuck you, you dumb piece of fucking shit. Like, I hope you burn in hell because you don't like Chapel Roan. And it's just like a little bit aggressive, guys, like a little bit overboard. So like I said, I'm surprised that I didn't get like a million 1-star ratings from all of the Chapel Roan stans. The other thing about all of this is like, if you know who Chapel Roan is, then you'll understand what I'm saying. And if you don't, just like look her up for a second. But like her entire vibe is weird and awkward. So like, I don't even really think it was that big of an insult. But here's the thing, like so I also had a lot of people being like, wow, like you're so pathetic. Like one interaction with someone is going to change your opinion of their music. And I'm like, well, yeah, of course it is. Like, are you going to tell me that your personal feelings about an artist don't influence like how you experience their music? And if you loved an artist, but then you went and met them and had an hour long conversation with them and like it rubbed you the wrong way for whatever reason, like she didn't say anything problematic. It was nothing like that. She was just like, it just was weird, you know? But like, if you have an experience with someone, that of course is going to color how you perceive their work, you know? And I think it's weird to think that that wouldn't happen. Like, it's weird to think that I would be like, yeah, I had an hour long conversation with her and she's so, so awkward and weird and made me feel uncomfortable, but like, I'm gonna go play her songs on repeat. Like, no, of course not. Of course not. And that's not to say her songs aren't good, because they are good. There is a reason why I had her on the podcast. I was a fan. And here's the thing, if someone puts on her music, like I probably still would tap my toe to it, but it just made me not like want to go out of my way to listen to her anymore. So I don't know. I guess this story serves two purposes. Like if there's a moral to the story, there are two morals to the story. The first is, if you are an artist, like just know that, I don't know, media training is important and how you like communicate to interviewers, especially ones that are your fans and are like being vocal about the fact that they're a fan of yours, like that might influence said fandom. I don't know. And then moral B is, if you're a podcaster and you have a weird or awkward interview, just shut the fuck up about it. Like, no one needs to know. All right, guys, we're going to talk about Vanderpump Rules. Now, again, keep in mind, we are going back like 3 weeks. So this isn't tonight's episode, and it's not last week's episode, but it's the one before that. All right. Okay. You're with me. We time traveled back to the past, back to the future, front to the past. I don't fucking know. But here we are 3 weeks ago. So the episode begins with James picking out outfits for Allie. Apparently this is something that he does often. And like, honestly, guys, I used to love going shopping with the girls that I dated and picking out outfits for them, but I'm gay. So Billie Lee goes over to Sandoval's house and she has to make it a point to tell him how awkward Ariana makes her feel. But like, do you care how awkward you make us feel, Billie Lee? Do you? She tells Tom that she's bringing her friend T to James's show at Hotel Ziggy, and they show a flashback to Tom's pool party of Billie and T and Tom hanging around with some other obviously desperate people. And Billie's barking about how if Tom is so awful, how come Ariana's still living across the hall from him? Maybe because it's her house that she owns 50% of? Like, I really don't understand this mentality that Ariana should just up and abandon her own home because her boyfriend cheated on her. Like, why does no one ask why Tom doesn't move? Clearly, they're both uncomfortable sharing this space. And the one answer that I keep seeing online in response to that question is, well, she's the one that doesn't want the house, and he does, so she should leave. But, like, I'm sure that if he were to vacate the property, she would gladly stay there until everything was sorted out and the house sold, clearly. But she recognizes that they both are clearly not going to stay there, and she doesn't feel like she should have to pick up her life and move and get an apartment or whatever, while he gets to sit pretty in the home that she helped build, so to speak. Then there's the whole financial aspect of it all. Tom says he offered her top market value, but Tom's a fucking idiot, and I highly doubt he even knows what top market value is. Plus, as Ariana's explained on the after show, his offer doesn't mention any of the furnishings or decor or anything in the house, so it's basically a bullshit offer from a bullshit human. Billie and Sandoval are playing up this narrative that Ariana's just being so unreasonable by ghosting Tom and his letter of intent that he sent her. Billie's like, can't you just go knock on her door? And like, now this is actually the one time where I'm like, oh, okay, Billie's actually making a little sense. Like, why not just go talk to her since you guys do share a home still? But no, he doesn't do this. He chooses to talk to her in public in front of everyone on camera. But we'll get to that. Sidebar, I will also say that it's so weird that Billie Lee is trying to set Tom up with some girl when she's clearly in love with him, but yeah. Across the hall, Ariana is FaceTiming with assistant Anne about whether or not she should be poaching Anne to work for herself. And Anne says yes, obviously. She wants the job, desperately. Lala and Schwartz go out for a smoothie date in what is the most awkward, unnatural, overly produced setup this season. Like, seriously, when on earth would these two hang out? Schwartz says that he's on a sober bender, whatever the fuck that is. I told you guys on the last episode that I think we're witnessing this man lose his damn mind. Dating Joe isn't helping, and honestly, neither is this chat with Lala, who I also think is losing the plot a little bit this season. Definitely in the postseason. She's lost her damn marbles in all of these interviews and podcasts that she's doing. So during this sober bender, Schwartz can't help but reveal that he made out with Sheena in Vegas once upon a time, while he was with Katie. Schwartz says he and Sheena have even joked about it recently. Oh my god, this isn't gonna be good. So immediately after this, Lala is hanging out with Katie and she reveals this piping hot tea. To which Katie is, shooketh. Obviously, who wouldn't be? I mean, the fact that this could have been one of the biggest storylines on Pump Rule season 3 or 4, I feel like we were robbed. Later on, we're at Hotel Ziggy for a classic DJ James Kennedy set. Everyone's there. Schwartz and Joseph, Sheena and Brock, and even Ariana and the Worm. Oh, and Billy's friend, T. Sheena decides to go full Regina George when talking to Joe. And it's funny, she always claims to be this, like, people pleaser and the nice girl of the group, but she loves to play the mean girl when given the opportunity. She loves it almost as much as she loves playing the victim. But that said, it's Sheena. Her worst is still really benign, so Joe running off claiming that she got bullied is so womp womp. It's so lame. Like, she told you to take your hat off. No one said anything else beyond that. If you feel awkward, it's because you're awkward. Like Chapel Roan. If you feel uncomfortable, it's because you're uncomfortable. Like, I don't know, I just have no sympathy for anyone who gets involved with a cast member on Vanderpump Rules and signs the waiver to be filmed and puts on a mic and then just immediately starts crying. Like I said, womp womp. So Katie and Lala are filling Ariana in on the Sheena Schwartz makeout when Sandoval saunters up to ask Ariana about the house and his letter of intent. Okay, so this is what I was talking about before. He makes this whole scene about the house in front of a group of people and the cameras, trying to make it very clear that Ariana is the one being so difficult. But like, if you really wanted to work this shit out, A, why not go knock on her door when you guys aren't filming and actually try and hash it out? B, if that's not going to work because she just won't talk to you, which, like, who can blame her, then have your attorney send a follow-up. Or C, ask to go speak to her in private. I don't know, but this just feels like such an inappropriate conversation for a DJ James Kennedy gig. Ariana is cold as ice, though. Rightfully so. She doesn't give him more than a glance, and it's pretty fucking awesome, actually. I know people think she's being petty, but I am so fucking here for it. But so, despite appearing to be on Team Ariana, in her confessional, Lala's like, Ariana's being so weird about this house. Like, just go get an apartment. We know you can afford one. And again, I will ask, why is no one telling Sandoval to move the fuck out and go get an apartment? Why is no one saying to him, you cheated on her. Move the fuck out until you can find a new place. Like, in what universe should she be the one that has to move? I truly do not get it. I don't. This is not feminism, people. And speaking of not feminism, Katie addresses Sheena's Vegas antics, and Sheena claims that Schwartz tried to kiss her, but it didn't go anywhere. Sheena says she never told anyone about this, and she certainly would have never told Katie, which proves that she's not a girl's girl. Because if she really wasn't complicit in it, she absolutely would have and should have told Katie. And then she makes a really shitty dig about how she wouldn't have told Katie that her man wanted her in Vegas, also proving that she's not a girl's girl. It's also funny watching Katie bring all of this up and seeing Shayna's face go from, what are you talking about? To them being like, okay, well, let me explain. And then she does it again when Katie asks if she and Schwartz have been joking about it. And she's like, what, joking about it? Okay, let me explain. So the next day in what is yet another incredibly forced hangout, James, Lala, Schwartz, and Sandoval go out for mocktails. Like, what the fuck is this group? I'm so confused. I hate it, honestly. And Tom's like, I'm trying to make it super easy for her. You know what would make it super easy for Ariana, Tom? If you moved the fuck out, even if only temporarily, even if you desperately wanted to keep the house and want to negotiate buying her half and all of the things in it, be like, I'm gonna go get a place or I'm gonna go live with Schwartz for a little bit until we can work it all out. That would be the easiest thing for her. And then Lauren from fucking Utah is like, ugh, I know, it's so shitty when people hold you hostage to your past. Are you saying Ariana is holding Tom hostage? Like, I'm not sure where this shift in Lala is coming from. I mean, it feels a bit like the green-eyed monster, if you ask me, but it's not a cute look, no matter what. Tom's gonna do a weird meditation thing, and he invites Lala, and she's a little taken aback, but she goes, and it's fucking weird. Tom has an emotional orgasm, his words, all over the place, and Lala gets to watch it all. And so do we, unfortunately. She and Tom have a little sit-down afterwards, and they both talk about how they want to move on from their pasts and how neither wants to be a prisoner to their past decisions. And Lala specifically talks about how she doesn't want to project her own experiences and triggers onto other people anymore, specifically Tom. And she's so sweet and gentle with him, and it really pisses me off, and I'll tell you why. Because here she is telling Sandoval that she doesn't want to project her shit onto him. Meanwhile, all season long, she's been projecting her shit onto Ariana and Katie. Every decision they make is judged by Lala, and she's constantly talking about how she would handle their shit. She claims to be so pro-woman, but like, I don't know, there's just a lot of empathy for the men on this show, and the women do not get treated the same, even by the other women. Also, like, do you guys remember how Lala was arguably the loudest in attacking Tom and Raquel at the reunion? Like, where'd that go? Ariana and Katie are having sandwich tasting part deux, but this time it's more of a sandwich shop reveal. And once again, Lala is, like, bitching about Ariana and Katie. It's, like, I don't understand. She's making fun of their sandwiches, and she's like, what are we doing here? We've already eaten these. Okay, for the record, my friends could make me free sandwiches every damn day of the year, and I would be so happy and grateful. Like, for real, what is her beef with Ariana and Katie? I mean, it's definitely not a beef sandwich from Something About Her. So Lala tells Ariana about her encounter with Sandoval and how they had this really nice and productive chat. Cool story, bro. But Ariana has a shitty one, about how Sandoval locked their dog in Ariana's room for hours and how she got into some leftover food and ended up at the emergency vet. So, again, mixed response from people on this one. Like, the sane people are all like, wow, what the fuck, Tom? And then the weird Tom defenders are like, ew, how gross that Ariana has leftover food in her room. Okay, first of all, let me say, I agree that it's gross to have leftover food just chilling in your room. Like, I personally would never. And at the very beginning of the season, when they showed Ariana and Tom's spaces in the house, I even made a point to be like, girl, please go clean up your room. Like, for your mental health and for mine. But still, that doesn't get Tom off the hook, in my opinion. Locking the dog in a room for hours and not checking on it is not okay, especially if that's, like, not the determined setup for the dog to be in that room. And if they haven't decided that that's where the dog is gonna chill when no one's home and you know, like, they have a little water and food set up or anything, like, then don't throw the dog in there and lock it in. That's mean, and look what happens when you do that. Not to mention that Tom already acknowledged that he knows their dog gets into stuff, so, dude, get it together. I mean, I will say, though, that I think it's absolutely wild that no one on this show knows how to train their dogs. So everyone's over at Sir after the tasting, and Katie tells LVP about Schwartz and Sheena. And of course, it becomes a little thing, and they're all ribbing Schwartz about it, and he literally calls Katie a dog with a bone. Classic fucking Schwartz, like, the ultimate gaslighter. Does something shitty, like making out with Sheena, and then lying about it for a decade, and then bringing it up a decade later, and then acting like Katie's being ridiculous for having any sort of emotion about it. She's not even yelling, like, she's so calm, and Schwartz is still acting like she's flying off the handle. God, he's such a fucking man-child. So he goes and cries to the ultimate man-child, Brock, who thinks that this is all a huge double standard on Katie's part because she herself has hooked up with someone in the friend group. Dun, dun, dun! So it's revealed that Katie and Max Boyens, yes, former TomTom manager Max, went home together after Hotel Ziggy, and they boned. He knows this because Sheena was watching Max's location. Totally normal. Okay, thoughts on this. Firstly, this is not a double standard, Brock. These situations are not the same. Schwartz hooking up with people left and right, including Sheena, while he and Katie were together, is not the same as her hooking up with Max now that they're divorced. It's not even the same as Schwartz hooking up with Raquel last season. Schwartz and Katie made a deal not to hook up with any friends. Schwartz went back on that deal, and now the deal's off, so Max and Katie are on. This news obviously stirs up drama, and Sheena is pissed that Brock spilled the beans. But is she pissed that he's starting shit, or is she pissed because now it's been revealed that she stalks her friends' locations? Because that is so embarrassing. All right, moving on to the next episode, which is still not the most recent episode, which is airing tonight, but it's the last episode, so I guess it's kind of the most recent episode, but it's not gonna be the most recent episode if you're listening to this past Tuesday. Anyways, let's go. So the girls are all working out together, and Katie is once again highly relatable. Like, I don't understand people that work out and say that it makes them happy. Like, I just don't. I work out because it gets my stress out, and also because I don't want to be fat. It's definitely not because it makes me happy. In fact, I loathe it. But I loathe being anxious and stressed out and bloated even more. Lala invites the girls to a water tasting, whatever the fuck that is, and she reveals that she's also invited, dun dun dun, Tom Sandoval. back at the Worms' shared house with Ariana, Ariana is interviewing Anne to be her new assistant. And honestly, they have so much chemistry. Like, Anne should work for Ariana. Or they should date. I support either. I love how Anne quickly popped up to Tom and was like, "Hi, I'm just gonna go try and help Ariana find an assistant real quick, you know, because I have all these connections in my assistant community. Bye!" Like, is there this huge community of assistants in LA that just know each other and kiki and help each other get gigs and then talk shit about their famous employers? Like, if so, honestly, get them a reality TV show. So as Ariana's interviewing Anne, Tom is eavesdropping like an Uber creeper. But to be fair, this is also why Ariana probably should have interviewed Anne somewhere else, or like in the backyard, I don't know. Because a little later on, we find out that Tom actually fired Anne immediately after her interview with Ariana. God, he really is such a douche. Schwartz goes to visit Sheena and Brock, and he shows up with a plant. Like, what is this guy's deal? I feel like in every scene this season, he has a plant with him. He's the plant man all of a sudden. They're all talking about Katie and Max's hookup, and Sheena's pretending to be all mad about the drama, but we know she loves it. Brock is once again trying to claim that Katie is a huge hypocrite, and Schwartz agrees, of course, but like, I'm sorry, Katie owes you nothing at this point, Schwartz. Nothing! All right, so I don't really have much to say about the water tasting thing because, like, it seems so fucking stupid to me. A $1,000 bottle of water? Like, fuck right off with that. I will say, though, I still get so happy every time they do something at James and Allie's house and they show an airplane flying overhead. The producers just tickle me. So after the wine tasting, I mean, water tasting, they're doing some good old-fashioned pizza tasting. And it's very obvious that Ariana is very easily triggered by Sandoval. But like, honestly, I get it. I would be so annoyed to have to be around my cheating ex too. And I also get it because I'm also easily triggered by Sandoval. So yeah, I get it. The girls are talking about Anne and how she was fired by Sandoval, and Lala's like, well, what are you gonna do? She's the middleman between you and Tom. And Ariana's pretty chill. She's like eating her garlic bread, and she's like, I don't know, my lawyer can do it. And Sheena and Lala think this is a ridiculous idea, and Lala's like, I think your lawyer has better things to do than mediate between you and your boyfriend. But like, honestly, isn't that what a lot of lawyers do? They mediate between exes? And as long as they're putting those billable hours in, like, I doubt they care. Also, didn't Lala basically turn her lawyer into a meme? Like, shut the fuck up. Schwartz and Katie are outside catching up about Katie's sexcapades with Max. Schwartz is crying about how shitty it is for Katie to have sex with one of his best friends when she was so upset about him and Raquel. But she's like, I had one request after we broke up. Keep it out of the friend group. You couldn't respect that, so why should I? Points made. Also, when we look back at everything that's been done and said, it's pretty clear that a lot of the Schwartz and Raquel stuff was done purposely to fuck with Katie. Like, they even acknowledged that they didn't even like each other. So, yeah, Katie can get it from wherever she wants to at this point. And, like, if you're mad that Katie and Max fucked, be mad at Max. He's your friend. Katie is not. So, as Katie's trying to explain her feelings and her perspective in a conversation that Schwartz brought up, he immediately starts shutting her down and is like, can we just shake hands and move on? Like, let's just go get dinner. Come on, I'll bring a plant. And it's like, bro, shut the fuck up and just listen to her for one time in your goddamn life. Then they have like a little fashion showdown and they both insult each other's clothes, but Katie looks fucking awesome and Schwartz looks like an elf on the shelf, so points to Katie again. Back inside, Ariana's continuing the story about Anne being fired by the attempted dog murderer, and this comment gets things heated, very hot. And let's be real, guys, James's house in Burbank is not just under a flight path, it's also very small, so you know that it gets tense and sweaty in there fast. So Ariana and Tom start yelling at each other over this dog versus skewer situation, and you guys already know my opinions on that, Team Ariana and Team Maya, definitely not Team Sandoval and Team Skewer. They get into it over who changes their cat's litter box more, blah, 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 and Tom calls Ariana a liar, but the editors have receipts, playback, roll footage. And Ariana says, do not go in my room. That is my only safe space in the home that you wrecked. And I think this is exactly why everyone needs to be telling Sandoval to go stay somewhere else. He wrecked the home. I feel like, what happened to us as a society that we're more inclined to tell a woman to uproot her life than the man who cheated on her? Carrie Underwood would not stand for this. Then they start barking back and forth about Tom's email and the response or lack thereof from Ariana. And okay, honestly, in the previews for this episode, I was a little bit worried for Ariana and I thought I might feel like maybe she took it too far. But honestly, watching this episode, I was like, hoo, 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 like whooping for her like I was in the audience of Jerry Springer and she was like beating this loser's ass. I fucking loved it. I loved it. And she sent him running. But not before he could show his true colors as he's scurrying away. He's like, you already got everything. You got all the campaigns. Now you want my assistant. to quote Carlton of RHOBH fame, and there it is! He and a few other people on this cast are clearly so jealous of all of the offers that have come pouring in for Ariana. Like, he literally just admitted it. But what's the craziest thing about this isn't the jealousy. It's him saying that she got everything, including all of the campaigns, as if he was expecting some for himself. De-fucking-lusional. Then Lala chimes in with her confessional, and guess what? She brings up Ariana's campaign for Glad trash bags. Jealous much? Anyways, once again, I think all of this would be a non-issue if they just trained their dogs. Lala's like, you've gotta have a productive conversation with him. You've just gotta. But like, does Lala go and have productive conversations with Randall? I'm pretty sure they don't speak. Like, Lala has said that they do not speak. Lala keeps telling Ariana how she should handle this breakup and that she needs to move on, but I don't think Lala and Rand are just chilling and communicating peacefully. In fact, she still talks mad shit about him on her podcast and other people's podcasts all the time. So like, who needs to move on, Lala? Sandoval wants Schwartz to go to a singles night with him and get their mojos back. And he's like, me and Schwartzy have never been single at the same time. But that certainly doesn't mean you guys didn't go cruising for women at the same time. In fact, you guys were each other's wingmen plenty of times, so let's not act like this is going to be some new shtick for you all. Anyways, I fast-forwarded through most of this scene with the Toms and Kyle Chan. Unnecessary. I also fast-forwarded through the next scene with Brock and Sheena. I can't with them. Brock is such a misogynist, and honestly, so is Sheena. They, too, keep trying to dictate how Ariana should feel in all of this, and it's like, can we just be real? Like, Sheena would never let anyone forget it if this happened to her. I mean, she barely let any of us forget it the first half of this season, and it didn't happen to her, so why is it okay for her to cry over her grief of losing her friend, like, 2 episodes ago, but Ariana can't scream over her grief for losing her boyfriend? James is out to dinner with his ladies, Allie, LVP, and his mom. Honestly, not much to report in this scene, but, like, I kind of loved it. It was like a new age Sex in the City, you know? We don't need him just like that. We just need Allie spilling tea to Lisa and the other lady while James sits there giggling. I'm seated. Popcorn popped. Ariana and her interior designer start going through their house and all of their furnishings to take inventory. This, for all those questioning Ariana's decisions, is how you properly divide assets. Later on at the beach day, the gang once again tries to force Sandoval on Ariana. And us. Like, I get why he was needed on this show because he is the Scandoval, but like, I also very much would not mind him not being on the show anymore. I wouldn't miss him. The first episode of the season when he was shooting Loser Forces or whatever. Oh, those were the good old days. Brock brings up Rachel, which obviously triggers Ariana, and we are off to the races. It's just like barking back and forth again, which I get, Ariana. You bark away. Look, I'm not saying it's mature. I'm not saying it's not petty. I'm not saying that she isn't acting like a woman scorned, but you guys, she is a woman scorned. She has every right to fucking hate breathing the same air as him. I hate breathing the same air as the TV that he's on in my house. So Lala shows up once again, and she immediately is like, Ariana, chill, inner peace, blah, blah, blah. And it is so insane to me because Lala seems like she has zero inner peace, so shut the fuck up, Lauren. Shut the fuck up. But unfortunately, she doesn't. Bitch has been running her fucking mouth for weeks now on all of these podcasts, talking so much shit on Ariana, and honestly, the fans are over it. So much so that she had to turn off her comments on socials. Wrong road, girl. Wrong road. All right, guys, that is it for this week. Like I said, I will be back as soon as I possibly can. But, you know, with the way things are going, who knows when that'll be. Thank you for sticking by me through everything, thick and thin. You guys are you are the Katie to my Ariana. You really are. You are not the Lala to my Ariana. I love you guys. Go give me 5 stars. Subscribe to the podcast so you never miss an episode. Follow me on socials. All of the things. XOXO. Kisses.